Chapter 32. It was falling dark when Stephen came out of Mr. Bounderby's house. The shadows of night had gathered so fast that he did not look about him when he closed the door, but plodded straight along the street. Nothing was further from his thoughts than the curious old woman he had encountered on his previous visit to the same house, when he heard a step behind him that he knew, and turning, saw her in Rachel's company. He saw Rachel first, as he had heard her only. "Ah, Rachel, my dear. Miss Suss, thou why her? Apostrophe, well, and now you are surprised to be sure, and with reason I must say, apostrophe," the old woman returned. "Here I am again, you see. Apostrophe, but thou why Rachel? Apostrophe, apostrophe," said Stephen, falling into their step, walking between them, and looking from the one to the other. "Why, I come to be with this good lass pretty much as I came to be with you," apostrophe said the old woman, cheerfully, taking the reply upon herself. "My visiting time is later this year than usual, for I have been rather troubled with shortness of breath, and so put it off till the weather was fine and warm. For the same reason I don't make all my journey in one day, but divide it into 2 days, and get a bed tonight at the Traveler's Coffee House down by the railroad, a nice clean house, and go back parliamentary, at 6 in the morning. Well, but what is this to do with this good lass, says you? I'm going to tell you. I have heard of Mr. Bounderby being married. I read it in the paper, where it looked grand. Oh, it looked fine. Apostrophe, apostrophe, the old woman dwelt on it with strange enthusiasm. And I want to see his wife. I have never seen her yet. Now, if you'll believe me, she hasn't come out of that house since noon today. So not to give her up too easily, I was waiting about, a little last bit more, when I passed close to this good lass 2 or 3 times, and her face being so friendly I spoke to her, and she spoke to me. There, apostrophe said the old woman to Stephen, you can make all the rest out for yourself now, a deal shorter than I can, I dare say. Apostrophe, apostrophe, once again, Stephen had to conquer an instinctive propensity to dislike this old woman, though her manner was as honest and simple as a manner possibly could be. With a gentleness that was as natural to him as he knew it to be to Rachel, he pursued the subject that interested her in her old age. "Well, Miss Suss, apostrophe," said he, "I ha seen the lady, and she were young and handsome. Why, fine dark thinking eyes, and a still way, Rachel, as I ha never seen the like on. Apostrophe, young and handsome." "Yes," apostrophe cried the old woman, quite delighted. "As bonny as a rose. And what a happy wife. Apostrophe, I, Miss Suss, I suppose she be," apostrophe said Stephen, but with a doubtful glance at Rachel. "Suppose she be? She must be. She's your master's wife," apostrophe returned the old woman. Stephen nodded assent. "Though as to master, apostrophe," said he, glancing again at Rachel, "not master any more. That's all ending twixt him and me. Apostrophe, have you left his work, Stephen?" Apostrophe, apostrophe, asked Rachel, anxiously and quickly. "Why, Rachel, apostrophe," he replied, "whether I ha left his work, or whether his work ha left me, coombs tth same. His work and me are parted. 'Tis as weel so better, I were thinking when yo coom up why me. It would ha brought trouble upon trouble, if I had stayed here. Happily 'tis a kindness, to money that I go, happily 'tis a kindness to my son, anyways it mun be done. I mun turn my face fro Coketown for th time, and seek a fortin, dear, by beginnin' fresh. Apostrophe, where will you go, Stephen? Apostrophe, apostrophe, I dunno tonight," apostrophe said he, lifting off his hat, and smoothing his thin hair with the flat of his hand. "But I'm not going tonight, Rachel, nor yet morrow. Tan't easy over much t no weir t turn, but a good heart will coom to me." Apostrophe, hereinto, the sense of even thinking unselfishly aided him. Before he had so much as closed Mr. Bounderby's door, he had reflected that at least his being obliged to go away was good for her, as it would save her from the chance of being brought into question for not withdrawing from him. Though it would cost him a hard pang to leave her, and though he could think of no similar place in which his condemnation would not pursue him, perhaps it was almost a relief to be forced away from the endurance of the last 4 days, even to unknown difficulties and distresses. So he said, with truth, "I'm more leetsome, Rachel, under tea, than I cold na believed." Apostrophe it was not her part to make his burden heavier. She answered with her comforting smile, and the three walked on together. Age, especially when it strives to be self-reliant and cheerful, finds much consideration among the poor. The old woman was so decent and contented, and made so light of her infirmities, though they had increased upon her since her former interview with Stephen, that they both took an interest in her. She was too sprightly to allow of their walking at a slow pace on her account, but she was very grateful to be talked to, and very willing to talk to any extent. So, when they came to their part of the town, she was more brisk and vivacious than ever. "Come to my poor place, Miss Sus," apostrophe said Stephen, "and tak a coup o' tea. Rachel will coom then, and arterwards I'll see thee safety thy traveller's lodging. Tea may be long, Rachel, ere ever I ha th chance o' thy company again." Apostrophe, they complied, and the three went on to the house where he lodged. When they turned into a narrow street, Stephen glanced at his window with a dread that always haunted his desolate home, but it was open, as he had left it, and no one was there. The evil spirit of his life had flitted away again, months ago, and he had heard no more of her since. The only evidence of her last return now were the scantier movables in his room, and the grayer hair upon his head. He lighted a candle, set out his little tea board, got hot water from below, and brought in small portions of tea and sugar, a loaf, and some butter from the nearest shop. The bread was new and crusty, the butter fresh, and the sugar lump, of course in fulfillment of the standard testimony of the Coketown magnates, that these people lived like princes, sir. Rachel made the tea, so large a party necessitated the borrowing of a cup, and the visitor enjoyed it mightily. It was the first glimpse of sociality the host had had for many days. He too, with the world a wide heath before him, enjoyed the meal again in corroboration of the magnates, as exemplifying the utter want of calculation on the part of these people, sir. "I ha never thought yet, Miss Sus," apostrophe said Stephen, "o' asking thy name." Apostrophe, the old lady announced herself as apostrophe Mrs. Pegler. Apostrophe, a widder, I think. Apostrophe, apostrophe said Stephen. "Oh, many long years." Apostrophe, apostrophe Mrs. Pegler's husband, one of the best on record, was already dead, by Mrs. Pegler's calculation, when Stephen was born. "'Twere a bad job to lose so good a one," apostrophe said Stephen. "Any children?" Apostrophe, apostrophe, Mrs. Pegler's cup, rattling against her saucer as she held it, denoted some nervousness on her part. "No," apostrophe she said. "Not now, not now." Apostrophe, dead, Stephen, apostrophe Rachel softly hinted. "I'm sorry I ha spoken on tea," apostrophe said Stephen. "I ought tea hadn't in my mind as I might touch a sore place. I blame my son." Apostrophe, while he excused himself, the old lady's cup rattled more and more. "I had a son," apostrophe she said, curiously distressed, and not by any of the usual appearances of sorrow, "and he did well, wonderfully well. But he is not to be spoken of, if you please." He is apostrophe putting down her cup, she moved her hands, as if she would have added, by her action, dead. Apostrophe, apostrophe then she said aloud, "I have lost him." Apostrophe, Stephen had not yet got the better of his having given the old lady pain, when his landlady came stumbling up the narrow stairs, and calling him to the door, whispered in his ear. Mrs. Pegler was by no means deaf, before she caught a word as it was uttered. Bounderby. Apostrophe apostrophe she cried, in a suppressed voice, starting up from the table. Oh, hide me. Don't let me be seen for the world. Don't let him come up till I've got away. Pray, pray. Apostrophe she trembled, and was excessively agitated, getting behind Rachel, when Rachel tried to reassure her, and not seeming to know what she was about. But hearken, Miss Suss, hearken, apostrophe said Stephen, astonished. Tis Mr. Bounderby, tis his wife. He are not fearful o' her. He o' was hey go mad about her, but an our sin. Apostrophe, but are you sure it's the lady, and not the gentleman? Apostrophe, apostrophe, she asked, still trembling. Certain sure. Apostrophe, apostrophe, well then, pray don't speak to me, nor yet take any notice of me, apostrophe said the old woman. Let me be quite to myself in this corner. Apostrophe, Stephen nodded, looking to Rachel for an explanation, which she was quite unable to give him. Took the candle, went downstairs, and in a few moments returned, lighting Louia into the room. She was followed by the whelp. Rachel had risen, and stood apart with her shawl and bonnet in her hand, when Stephen, himself profoundly astonished by this visit, put the candle on the table. Then he too stood, with his doubled hand upon the table near it, waiting to be addressed. For the first time in her life Louia had come into one of the dwellings of the Coketown Hands. For the first time in her life she was face to face with anything like individuality in connection with them. She knew of their existence by hundreds and by thousands. She knew what results in work a given number of them would produce in a given space of time. She knew them in crowds passing to and from their nests, like answer beetles. But she knew from her reading infinitely more of the ways of toiling insects than of these toiling men and women. Something to be worked, so much and paid so much, and there ended. Something to be infallibly settled by laws of supply and demand. Something that blundered against those laws, and floundered into difficulty. Something that was a little pinched when wheat was dear, and overate itself when wheat was cheap. Something that increased at such a rate of percentage, and yielded such another percentage of crime, and such another percentage of pauperism. Something wholesale, of which vast fortunes were made. Something that occasionally rose like a sea, and did some harm and waste, chiefly to itself, and fell again. This she knew the Coketown Hands to be. But, she had scarcely thought more of separating them into units, than of separating the sea itself into its component drops. She stood for some moments looking round the room. From the few chairs, the few books, the common prints, and the bed, she glanced to the two women, and to Stephen. I have come to speak to you, in consequence of what passed just now. I should like to be serviceable to you, if you will let me. Is this your wife? Apostrophe apostrophe, Rachel raised her eyes, and they sufficiently answered no, and dropped again. I remember, apostrophe said Louia, reddening at her mistake. I recollect, now, to have heard your domestic misfortunes spoken of, though I was not attending to the particulars at the time. It was not my meaning to ask a question that would give pain to anyone here. If I should ask any other question, that may happen to have that result, give me credit, if you please, for being in ignorance, how to speak to you as I ought. Apostrophe, as Stephen had but a little while ago instinctively addressed himself to her, so she now instinctively addressed herself to Rachel. Her manner was short and abrupt, yet faltering and timid. He has told you what has passed between himself and my husband. He would be his first resource, I think. Apostrophe, I have heard the end of it, young lady, apostrophe said Rachel. Did I understand that, being rejected by one employer, he would probably be rejected by all? I thought he said as much. Apostrophe, the chances are very small, young lady, next to nothing for a man who gets a bad name among them. Apostrophe, what shall I understand? That you mean by a bad name? Apostrophe apostrophe, the name of being troublesome. apostrophe, then, by the prejudices of his own class, and by the prejudices of the other, he is sacrificed alike? Are the two so deeply separated in this town, that there is no place, whatever for an honest workman between them? Apostrophe, apostrophe, Rachel shook her head in silence. He fell into suspicion, apostrophe, said Louis, with his fellow weavers, because he had made a promise not to be one of them. I think it must have been to you, that he made that promise. Might I ask you why he made it? Apostrophe, apostrophe, Rachel burst into tears. I didn't seek it of him, poor lad. I prayed him to avoid trouble for his own good, little thinking he'd come to it through me. But I know he'd die 100 deaths, ere ever he'd break his word. I know that of him well. Apostrophe, Stephen had remained quietly attentive, in his usual thoughtful attitude, with his hand at his chin. He now spoke in a voice rather less steady than usual. No one, excepting my son, can ever know what honor, and what love, and respect, I bear to Rachel, or why what cause. When I passed that promise, I tout her true, she were th angel o' my life. Twere a solemn promise. Tis gone from me, forever. Apostrophe, Louis turned her head to him, and bent it with a deference that was new in her. She looked from him to Rachel, and her features softened. What will you do? Apostrophe, she asked him. And her voice had softened too. Well, ma'am, apostrophe, said Stephen, making the best of it, with a smile, when I ha finished off, I mun quit this part, and try another. Fortnite or misfortnate, a man can but try, there's no to be done without trying except laying down and dying. Apostrophe, how will you travel? Apostrophe, apostrophe, afoot, my kind lady, afoot. Apostrophe. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.